honor. We just thank you, Father, for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Every time I get the opportunity to speak, I'm always struggling with it because it's not my first instinct to get up in front of people and speak. And it's something that I have to choose to do because I feel like God's asking me to. And it's not always easy, but I do believe that God has a message that he wants you to hear tonight. And I just ask that you be open. Don't think about dinner or whatever. Think about what he has for you. And I'll apologize ahead of time because I always ask God for like really good, like awesome messages. And the interesting thing is he gives me hard ones. Like, they're not always easy and lighthearted. They're like the heavy, hard ones. I'm like, why do I have to talk about that? Because it's not easy, but it's something I need to learn, including all of us. I think that God wants to speak to us. And so the easy message is, I'm sure you'll get through Nate or Eddie or somebody. Not like the heavy ones. They did awesome, by the way. Didn't they do awesome on Sunday and Wednesday? I listened to the Wednesday's message. It was really good. If you haven't heard the podcast, you need to listen to it. Great message on healing on Sunday. I mean, it was awesome. Very good. Very good. But God wants us to talk about willingness tonight. Willingness. And if you were here a couple of Sundays ago, it was Wednesdays ago, we talked about Pastor Susie ministered to a bunch of people, and at the end I just shared a little illustration about a donkey and a horse. Do y'all remember that? Some of you that were here. I'll share it again just for those of you that weren't here. But I shared about a donkey. If you've ever been around a donkey and you've heard, usually you realize that they're stubborn, right? They're pretty stubborn. They have their name that I'm not going to say. That, that, you know, that people call them because they're stubborn and they just don't want to do what you want them to do. You can try to pull them. You can try to kick them in the rear and they still want to just stay. They're very strong-willed. And then you have a horse that may be broken into. They have to break horses in order for them to be really willing. But once they're broken, they're willing to go wherever you tell them to go. You give them commands, you pull on their reins, and they'll go one way or they'll go the other way. And they're very, very willing just to walk and do what you tell them to do. So God just was really speaking to my heart, saying, you know, sometimes we're like a donkey. And we want to be stubborn and we don't want to listen. And sometimes it's not necessarily just to rebel. Sometimes it's just because of fear. Like God tells you to do something and you're just like, but that's going to be hard. Or I don't know if you're going to be there to help me with this thing. This is bigger than me. Have you ever been there? I've been there plenty of times. And I noticed for myself, like I said this that night, you know, I feel like I try to be on a regular basis willing and teachable, but sometimes I'm resistant and I stay in one place because I'm fearful and I don't step out where God wants me to step out. And you know the scripture in Isaiah 1:18-20, it says, I want to read the whole thing and then we'll go back and talk about it. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And then this is the part. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Like, it goes on. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. I think it's kind of interesting that it talks about your sins right before this. And it's talking about, you know, that your sins will be white as snow. Well, this is Isaiah. This is before Jesus died on the cross. So it's not like he was talking specifically about Jesus because it happened already. He was talking about specifically about Jesus because it was a prophecy. It was foretelling what was going to happen. that your sins will be white as snow. But he goes on to say, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So I think what he's trying to say here, what I feel like God was telling me, is that yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, God has a good, awesome, wonderful plan for you. It's so good you can't even imagine it. But you still have to be willing. You still have to be obedient, because God has all these good things for you, but if you don't take this step and this step and this step, he can't get you there. He wants to get you there. But you gotta be obedient to those steps that he's telling you to do. I talked to Vanessa tonight. She told me I could share this story. Last Wednesday, she came to me and she was like, I just gotta tell you something. And she said, God wants me to do something that I really don't want to do, but I feel like I should do it. And she said, I was praying about some things in my life, and I was asking God, why is these things not working out the way that I know you have provided for them to work out? And he spoke to her heart and said, well, because I told you to do this and you aren't doing it. And she was talking about the cleaning team, joining the cleaning team and being a part of it. And she said, I don't want to. And haven't we all been there? I don't want to. But she said, if God wants me to do it, I've got to do it. And I'm going to do it with a cheerful heart, even though I don't want to, and even though it goes against what I really want to do. I'm going to do it with a cheerful heart. And I know that God's going to provide or bless me because of it. And isn't that true? Isn't that true that God has good for us and he wants good for us, but sometimes there's some steps we have to take. Sometimes those steps are not always easy. When I was a teenager, I always thought God would ask us to do something and it would be easy. It would always be easy. Like, I thought marriage was going to be completely easy. How many of you thought that? I thought it was going to be really easy, like, because, I don't know, I love God, and if I'm with the right person, you know, we'll never argue, we'll never get on each other's nerves, you know. I thought that was going to be the truth. I was like, I thought everybody just like a fairy tale, you know. But, you know, if you're married, you know that's not always true. Right? It's not a fairy tale all the time. It's not always easy. You have to work hard at it to keep that relationship healthy, you know? And in the end, if you put the work and the time into it, it's worth it. It's completely worth it. And God does have good things for you within a marriage, and you are better together than you were apart. But it takes work. And I think about Jesus so many times. Jesus said different things to us, and he said different things to the disciples that talked about their lives and what they should do. And I want to read Matthew 16, verse 23 through 25. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now that's fun. That's an easy message. "You are a stumbling block to me, and you don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." When I was a kid, I always like, what? What in the world is Jesus talking about? If you lose your life, you'll find it. That doesn't make any sense. I used to think that all the time. But now that I'm older, I understand it. And I looked in some of the Greek and what the real meanings of some of these words are. And if you want to save your life, that's like your life, of course, you lose it, but whoever loses it, whoever loses their life for me will find it. That part, loses, means put out of the way entirely. To destroy, to render useless. You lose your life, not in your physical life, your breath, but your selfish desires, your wants, your fleshly things for God. And then you'll find what real life is all about. Real life is good. Real life, doing the things that God has called you to do, is good. It's a good life. It's an adventure. It's fun. It may not be easy all the time. It may be hard. It may be uncomfortable. But it's good. And you think about the disciples, when Jesus called them, we're not going to read, but, you know, when Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew were at the lake fishing, Jesus says, come follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. They had to lose something, right? They had to let go of those nets and let go of that boat, which they probably invested a lot of money in. What do you think? Probably they invested their whole life's wages into that boat and those nets. And they just got up and walked and said, I'm going this way with him. I just think that's pretty radical. Do you think that's radical? That's pretty radical. You know, I don't know if I was in their position, I could have gotten up and walked with Jesus at that point. I wish I would, but I don't know. You know, I don't know if my willingness and my obedience would have been there if I'd even realized who Jesus was at that point. You know, they knew something was up with this Jesus. He has to be the Messiah, that me laying this stuff down is worth following him, all that I invested in. And then, you know, there was several other times where Jesus talks to some other people and they said, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Wherever. And Jesus said to them, you know, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And then another disciple says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. That sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it? You're like, let the dead bury their own dead. It sounds cruel, but he knew what he was asking them to do was worth it. And if he stayed back, he knew that he was going to miss out on something great, something good for their life, and something for the cause. I mean, Jesus was about reaching people, and if people would follow him, he said, come on. But it's funny that Jesus didn't just sit there and wait on them. You know, like, you know, whenever you're ready, let's go. He didn't sit and wait, did he? He just like, okay, I'm going this way. If you want to come, come follow me. And he didn't wait. He just kept on. He had a purpose. He had a cause. He was going for it. And he wasn't going to stop. You can jump on board or you can stay in the boat. You know, let's jump on board. You think about Jesus himself, not only just his disciples, but Jesus himself. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 20. We got lots of verses, but y'all are the devout believers, so y'all can handle it, right? Y'all can handle all these scriptures. I'm going to let the scriptures I want them to talk for themselves and me not try to share too much of my own opinion. But Matthew 20, starting with starting with verse 20, we'll read through it quick, but I want to get down to the bottom. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with their sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right, one on the left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from this bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they said. We are able. But Jesus told them, You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And then this happened, and then he kind of gathered his all 10 disciples, and he wanted to share with them something. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Other disciples were freaking out. They're like, no, you're not sitting by Jesus. I'm sitting by Jesus. You crazy. But Jesus called them together and said, you know what the rulers in this world lord, you know that the rulers in this world lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, as to give his life as a ransom for many. I think that's pretty interesting. Here's James and John fighting over who's going to sit by Jesus. And he's saying, do you really know what you're asking? Because I'm about to die. He didn't say that, but he knew it. He's like, I'm about to die. Will you be willing to die with me? And they're like, yes, we are able. You know, but I don't know if they really knew that Jesus is about to die, would they be willing to do that too? And then we know that Jesus, he came as the Son of Man, but he didn't come as one of those kings that was here sitting on a throne. You know, he has servants everywhere, taking care of him, fanning him, feeding him grapes, you know. That wasn't Jesus, right? Jesus came to be, not to be served, but to serve. He was like a servant. He was a servant. The Greek, I thought this was really good. The word servant means one who worships God and submits to him. One who gives himself up wholly to another's will. Devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. That's a servant. Somebody who's more about someone else's interests than their own. That they're here to help others no matter what the cost. Jesus, he was willing and obedient all the way to the cross. You know, he had that moment in Gethsemane, like I'm sure we all would have had, except ours would probably last a lot longer, where he said, you know, well, if this could pass from me, if this cup could pass from me, please let it happen. But then he goes on to say, not my will, but yours be done. And thank God Jesus died for us so we don't have to do that, right? We don't have to lay down our lives for anybody. Jesus did that for us. He laid his life down for us. And so he's not asking us to lay down our lives for others, even though the disciples, some of them were killed, and there's people all over the world and other nations who are killed for their faith. But I don't believe God is asking us to do that. I believe he's asking us just to follow him, just to listen to him, just to be obedient to him, no matter the cost. And it's not, I don't think he's asking us to do something that's going to hurt us. He's asking us to do something that will be good for us in the long run, but it may not be comfortable or easy right now. It may not be, I think sometimes he asks us to do something bigger than us, and it's, in fact, a lot of times I'm just like, I'd much rather just sit really comfortable in my chair right there and listen to somebody else, you know? I really would, because it's comfortable there. But he asks us to do something bigger, and it may not be popular with other people. It may not be popular with the world. The world may think, hey, you are crazy. I don't know what you're doing. But if you listen to him, if you're willing to listen to him and you're obedient to him, he's going to lead you into the good things. He's going to lead you into a place where your life means something, where it's for something. It's for changed lives. It's for the cause. It's for something bigger than just, you know, a job, even though a job is great and I'm glad we have those things, but something that makes an eternal difference that will last forever. When I think about God and my relationship with God, I think about Karis a lot because I didn't really understand a father-daughter relationship or a mother-daughter relationship. I didn't really understand God as well now that I have Karis. I really understand it. And I ask Karis sometimes to do things she doesn't want to do. Do you ask your kids ever to do something? Or, you know, and it's funny because I'm not doing it to hurt her, right? I just want to teach her to pick up her toys, you know, or pick up her shoes. You know, it's not like I'm like, you know, I'm going to do something to harm her. It's just pick up your clothes. You know, whatever it is. How many parents ask your kids to do something and they don't always want to do it, right? This is funny. The other night, Karis sometimes will get leg aches in the middle of the night. I used to have them when I was little. And they were growing pains thing. And I totally understand because I used to cry for my mommy. I don't remember it, like crying because my legs would hurt so bad. And so I heard her crying upstairs, and I knew it was her legs. And I walked up, and I said, "Karis, what's going on?" She's like, "My leg hurts." She's half asleep, and she's like shaking her leg uncontrollably, like, "My leg hurts." And I'm like, "Okay, honey, I'll get you some medicine. Let me rub it, you know, put the heating pad on it." I'm trying to help her, but she's like freaking out and she's screaming and she's like, "I don't want any medicine. Don't you rub my leg." And she's like, she is halfway delirious. I mean, she's totally delirious. She's not even awake. I know it. But she just like refused to let me help her. And I'm like, "Seriously, all I'm trying to do is give you some medicine. I know it doesn't taste that great, but it'll help you." Oh, you know, we pray for her legs, and it was just funny to me, like, everything I did, tried to rub it, "No, stop," and then try to get the heat, but, "No, I don't want that," and it was just like an all-time meltdown in the bed, half asleep, and it's funny because, like, all I'm wanting to do is just to help. You know, all I'm wanting to do is to give her something that would help her. And she just refused to do it. Refused to let me help her. And I think we're like that with God sometimes. I mean, all we have to do is just listen. And be willing, first of all, and then just do. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Like, "But that doesn't make sense. If I do this, this will happen and this will happen," but just do it. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do, you know, in light of the scripture in John 10:10 that he came to give you life, life more abundantly. We know in the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." You know that. So it's not like he's going to ask you to do something so crazy that it's going to harm you. He's asking you to do something for your good. And so we just got to be obedient. And we got to be willing. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19, you won't have to go there. But it just talks about, this is really talking about sexual purity, but at the very end, it says something really good. It said, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." You're not your own. You were bought with a price. If you think about that word, Lord, like when you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, when you say Jesus is Lord, that means you put him in charge of you. That means he... When I was looking at the Greek word Lord, it says, "He to whom a person or thing belongs to, about which he has the power of deciding, the owner. When we made him the Lord of our lives, we decided that he was going to be in charge, that we were going to follow him, that we were going to do what he told us to do. And I think a lot of times we don't mean to. I have some kids playing out there. Sometimes we don't mean to, but we just live our lives the way we want to live them and, you know, don't really think about, well, what, God, what do you want me to do? And in Romans 12, I love this verse, even though it's not an easy one. Romans 12, verse 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So God's wanting us to see this. It says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's not wanting you to die on the cross. Jesus already did that. But a living sacrifice. One that is holy and pleasing to God. That's our worship to him. Like, I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll be obedient to what you say. And he wants good. He wants a good life. He wants good, healthy relationships. He wants you to be provided for all of those things. Yes, he wants all those things. But we need to ask ourselves sometimes, God, what do you want me to do? Pray that prayer of consecration. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Show me what to do. I'll step out. I'll do something big for you. Whether it's comfortable or not, I'll do it. I want to read on in Romans. We're in verse 12, verse 1, 2, and now we're at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I think when we're talking about being a living sacrifice, God created each one of us with some really awesome, special gifts, talents, things that we're really good at, whether we recognize it or not. And what can we do to use those things for him? You know, we're all part of one body, and we need each part. You know in the scripture how it talks about a body, and a nose is not more important than a hand. We need every single part in order to work as a body. And the body of Christ needs every one of us to do our part, to step out. We know our number one job as a believer is the ministry of reconciliation, to give life to others, to share the gospel. But then there's another part of that. What else can I do? Can I give? Can I encourage somebody? If that's my gift, yeah, encourage. Can I serve hospitality? Yeah, if that's my gift, do that. You know, if can I sing? Yeah, if that's my gift, do that. But then there's things like, okay, I said the nose, or let's see, what's a body part that's like you think you could probably do without? Oh, what is it? Gallbladder. Okay. Everybody gets their gallbladder out, right? So, you think about a gallbladder like, okay, I think about the cleaning team as a gallbladder sometimes because I know that sounds funny, but it's probably the job that nobody wants to do. Like, nobody, including myself sometimes. And it's the place of a servant, really is, because you're down scrubbing the toilet and, you know, people don't leave you very nice things in the bathroom sometimes. I'm serious. Trish had an experience just recently with that. And the thing is, sometimes there's things that God asks us to do that's not necessarily the most awesome, glorious job in the whole world. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's scrubbing a toilet. Sometimes it's just sweeping a floor, or, you know, it's changing a light bulb. You know, sometimes the things that God asks us to do are not glorious. And I talk about the cleaning team just because it reminds me of a servant's job. But there's plenty of opportunities for you to use your gifts and talents as the body of Christ. How can you use your gifts and talents, the things that God has called you to do as the body of Christ? Well, one is the local church. Yes, give life. That's your number one job. But continue to give, to serve others in a way. A lot of times we're just comfortable being at home or not coming to church, or, you know, I've got lots of things going on. Everybody has lots of things going on, but we got to do what God wants us to do. Be that living sacrifice. So, everything that God asks us to do, we know that it's going to be good. We know it's to bless us. We know that sometimes it may not be easy, but it's so that we can stretch. So that we can learn. So that we can be a part of what God is doing to change lives. And it's not always easy. It's not always the greatest, most fabulous job in the whole world. And it's not always glorious. I think some of the things that Jesus did wasn't always glorious, you know. Even though he was ministering to people, people's lives were messy. And he had to deal with the disciples, you know. He, just like you and me, we have to deal with other circumstances and people, and it's not always easy. I remember one time, it was really late at night, and I got a call that, or I found out that the family that was supposed to clean wasn't able to clean, and it was like Saturday night, like at 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do, you know? So, anyways, I just decided, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go up there, I'm going to clean, I'm going to turn on my worship music, and just clean. And as I was out here in the lobby, I was like sweeping the floors. You know, I was kind of a little bit complaining to God, just a little bit. Have you ever done that? I was like, you know, nobody's ever going to see me. I'm out here sleeping. You know, I'm not going to get a thank you from one person because they don't have a clue. You know, you just kind of think these things to yourself. Have you ever felt that way? Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm just like, God, I'm just going to do it, though. I'm going to try to do it with a willing heart, a cheerful heart, because it's not about me. It's about you. Whatever I do, whether it's sweeping the floor or, you know, teaching care of something or teaching the kids in there or doing a regular job, whatever I do, I'm doing it unto you. It's not about what other people see or about pleasing people. And he just spoke to my heart and he just said, you know, I see what you do. And whatever you do, I know many of you serve in many aspects of the church, or you do things outside of church that God sees. He sees what you do. He sees your heart. He sees your intentions. And he rewards you for that. You may not always understand the reward that comes back, but he always rewards you. And he told me, he said, you know what? You will be promoted for what you're doing. And that was way, way back, many years ago. And I didn't really understand that at the time. But I've seen God use me in different ways. And it's not because I'm special or because I'm the most fabulous speaker in the world or anything like that. It's just because I think God's taught me willingness and teachability and just do whatever it takes. And I think many of you already have that, but we can always get better at that. We can always get better at our willingness. We can always get better at our obedience or our quickness to obey, right? Because sometimes we do it eventually, just like your kids eventually clean their room 2 hours later, you know. But we can do it quicker. We can be more willing, more obedient, faster, you know. And I think about Jesus and in Philippians 2. You have to tell me what time it is because I can't see that clock. 8:10? Okay. Got a couple minutes. Eddie's giving me 20 minutes up here. But in Philippians 2, I love that they're telling us in verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. It kind of sounds like giving up your life to find it, you know? He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or a servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How good is that? That's some good word right there. He humbled himself. He said, you know what? Even though I'm the Son of God, I didn't come to this earth with trumpets and a throne and a big robe. I came as a servant. I came as somebody who is here to serve God, to put my life and the things that I want. I'm sure he had desires. Don't you think Jesus had desires to do things? You know, he was only 33 when he died, you know, and I think Nate is 33. That's a short life to live. I mean, that's not very long. I'm sure he had desires and things that he wanted to do, but he humbled himself and he said, this is for the greater good. This is for the greater cause. I'm not going to be here to be served, but to serve others. I'm here to do good. I'm here to declare who God is. And you know what God did? He elevated him. He honored him. He put him, his name above every other name. The same thing would happen in your life. Your name will not be above every other name. But he will exalt you. He will lift you up. It says in Peter, if you humble yourself in due time, he'll lift you up. Those things that you desire deep in your heart, God will lead you to good if we're just willing, if we're just obedient, if we just do what he tells us to do. The cool thing is, and Pastor Susie has shared this scripture before, that you don't have to work it up to be humble and to be obedient and willing. God can work in you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So I want us to, this week, be thinking about that and just be speaking that over our lives. God, you work in me. And you give me the desire to do and to have the power to do what pleases you. That's in Philippians 2. We've been reading Philippians 2, but down in verse 13. Let me read it to you in two different translations. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. In the Amplified, it says in verse 13, not your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. I love that. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire. God, thank you for creating in me the desire to do what pleases you. Thank you for creating in me the willingness and the obedience that I need to do what you tell me to do. It's not something we have to work up. Thank God. He works it in us. But we have to be willing, though. We have to be open, and he works it in us. This is just a few. Now, I have a few minutes. I was thinking about the pastors, and I was thinking about the day that we were praying for them when they were going to Australia and China at first. And, you know, they both were crying. Why were they crying? Well, because this is what they do. This is where they are comfortable. This is where it's easy. You know, it's not always easy, but, you know, this is what they're used to, is here, being here with all of you and teaching and preaching, and that's what they're good at, you know? And when they have to go, I'm sure that they both didn't really want to go in their hearts because they wanted to be here with us. But they knew God asked them to do it. They had to be willing. They had to be obedient. They had to invest their own money in it, you know? They had to go for weeks at a time in hotels and however many flights. You know, this is not something that's easy or comfortable. But they did it. I think about them when they had to start the church, you know? David Horton pretty much had to convince them. And they ended up saying, I'll do it. I'll do a church. What was that? Willingness. God was speaking to them about something. And they had to just give in and say, I'll do it. I'll be obedient. Right? So what is God talking to you about? Sometimes God asks us in order to go a certain way, to get that better life, or to go that direction that God asks us to do. Sometimes he asks us to let go of some things. And just like the disciples had to let go of their fishing and their boat, sometimes he may ask us to let go of some things. What are we holding on to that's holding us back from doing what God's called us to do? So this week, take some time. Be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, it takes time to hear God speak to you sometimes. When you're going through your life and you're busy and you're doing all the stuff, it's very hard to hear his voice. Sometimes you have to take apart some time and actually get alone. Don't have the music on, or sometimes I like worship music when I'm praying. But just pray in the Spirit. Listen to him. Be willing to listen to him. And then just be obedient. Take the steps that he's telling you to take. Do what he's telling you to do. It's for our good. And then, like I said, sometimes you're going to have to let go of some things in order to do what he's called us to do. I think of Vanessa, you know, the times that she could be doing other things. She's got lots of kids. She could be spending time with them, but she's going to spend that time coming and cleaning the church. You know, all of us could think of a million things to do, but God sometimes asks us to do things that are a sacrifice, and it's not always easy, but it's good for us in the end, and it's good for others, and it's going to affect others' lives. It's going to be something that makes an eternal difference, and I just wanted to encourage you with that. I know that's deep and heavy, like I said, from the very beginning. It's kind of a deep message, but I hope that God spoke to you and spoke to you something.